But now, today though, is our annual celebration Sunday. So like we mentioned earlier, instead of kind of a normal-ish sermon, we want to celebrate what God is doing in and through the Hope family. And part of why what God is doing is in caps, all capitals there on the slide, is that this really has to be about what God is doing. This is not like, yay, Hope is the most amazing church in the world. This is remembering that what happens here is the work that God is doing. And I'm kind of encouraged because we're going to hear some stories that maybe many of you wouldn't know about, because God is always at work in ways that we cannot see. God is always restoring people's lives or drawing people to himself. God is always transforming hearts. And so this morning, as a part of the annual celebration, we're going to have some folks tell stories, people in our community who have experienced God's grace and his transforming work right here from our Hope family. And so we want to keep in mind, as we hear these stories, that Hope belongs to Jesus. This church belongs to Jesus. Everything that happens here is because God's goodness, God's grace, everything that happens around here that's a good thing is ultimately a gift of God. It's how we get to shine the light of God through God shines his light through us into the world around us. In fact, Jesus was real clear with his followers about his intention for his people in the world, that's you and me, when he said in Matthew chapter 5, and let's read this on the screen together, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. So let your light shine before men and women so they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." That they would see your good deeds. Another way of saying that people would see the way that you treat other people and act towards other people and serve other people. That they would see that, and the result is that they would be drawn to the Father. They'd know that this is all about God's heart for us as humanity. See, God's intention is that people who are outside of the church would look at the church and think, huh, wow, God must be real. And that maybe even they'd go, wow, I think I want to follow the God that they follow, which is not always the case. Oftentimes the church has a way of repelling people and sending them in the opposite direction. But over the next 35, 40 minutes, you're going to hear stories of people who have encountered God's presence and experienced his transforming work right here in our community. And each one of these stories is connected to this this unique identity that God has given to our church, which we describe when we say here at Hope, just about every week, we say that we are a grace-based family where anyone can find and follow Jesus. And I love that people can find Jesus and follow Jesus as a result of getting connected to our church family. Now, this first story is exactly about someone finding the real Jesus and following Jesus. Neil Mersner is going to come, and it's been just a blast to watch Neil as he has gotten connected to Jesus and then just gone all in as he's learning to follow Jesus. And his story began two Easters ago, but God's been guiding him long before that. So welcome, Neil, as we hear what God's up to in his life. Here's a bigger version of that. Look at that.
I like that, because then I don't have to do this.
There you go.
You know. All right. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Man, there's a lot more people here on this one than the last one. A couple of things. So now that we're not on, you know, Bookface, and I can be a little bit more relaxed. No language. Somebody tried to get the unrated version out of me earlier. I said, no, I'm not doing that.
Save that for the fire.
Look, I'm honored to share my story here today, and a few things I didn't say in the first service, Doug, that I wanted to make sure I mentioned. You know, I'm turning 46 this year.
Woo!
No. So what's interesting to me is as you reached out to me and asked me to write this story or share my story, I remember going, I don't know how I'm going to get enough words into 5 minutes like you requested. So, you know, I prayed on it with my oldest son, and as I wrote and I cried when I'm sharing this story today, hopefully I don't do that when I read it, I remember I got done and I walked out and I ran into Rachel and I said, you have to read this. And she came out crying and said, you have to send this. And I said, okay. So I did. So
and
here I am.
And I cried when I read it too, so yeah.
You know, And so here we go. Did you mess me up? I don't know.
Yeah, you're right there. Neil's story.
Right here, the whole thing. Here we go. All right, so hello, Hope family. We already did that part. As Doug said, Easter 2023 was the first service I came to. That's when I started. But I've learned since being here that my journey here was already known by God. Years ago, I used to tell myself that I'd never go to church again. As the years have passed and my family has grown, more and more people entered my life that had some form of God in their stories. I didn't know at the time, but it was Jesus guiding me to this church with this family. February 14th, 2024, that's the day God spoke directly to me through a very close friend. She told me the same thing I'd heard from my awesome parents, friends, wife, and children before. You're not a mistake. God knew you before you were born and did not make a mistake bringing you into this world. What a punch to the gut that was after 45 years of telling yourself the big lie that you're a mistake. You shouldn't be here at all. But that day changed me and allowed me to see all the goodness that God in this church has brought to me and my family. It helped me see and hear things differently and more clearly, removing fear and doubt and the darkness that had been holding me back. I remembered the men's retreat being a milestone for me, as I really got to know a lot of people in this family and realized that there was more happening here than I could comprehend at that time. God has helped guide me to heal relationships I thought I'd lost forever. I found the path to my identity here and continue to walk without fear today while further discovering myself. I'm proud to say that I've become a better friend, husband, father, and man since allowing God into my life. It's given me a mission statement that some of my friends and family have already known about me, but now I honor them in realizing why I'm supposed to be here and sharing it with others. Here it is. To seek first the kingdom of God so that I might serve his community by way of my proximity. Ooh. Inspiring others to attack each day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind. And to help others believe that nobody could possibly have it better than them. Yeah. Thanks, everybody, for letting me share. It's pretty awesome.
Dude, love you, man.
Proud of you. Proud of you, brother.
Man, I love how God knew Neil's heart and then worked through someone to remind him of a truth that he needed to hear, that lie could be broken so he could get set free. And the truth he needed to hear was that he was not a mistake and that there was a purpose for his life. See, God's worked through other people to bring so many cool things to Neil, just the grace of God showing up to drive out darkness and doubts and help him really find his true identity. And like that mission statement that he wrote, that was from our Foresight seminar. Like, we're all working through all these pieces, and all of a sudden, like, first guy like up with their mission statements, Neil, and he's the first one pops up and reads that. And that was powerful. Like, that is a really powerful mission statement for his life. And those around us, those of us around him can see that totally jives and makes sense with who God has wired him to be. It's really cool. So on the count of three, can we give a big shout out, yay Jesus, for what he's doing in Neil's life? One, two, three. Yay Jesus. All right, all right. Now our next story highlights someone here at Hope in our family. It highlights what it means to be a part of a family that follows Jesus together, where we help each other discover and follow the call that God puts on our lives. So Gwen Mulder is a great example of that. So as she comes on up, would you welcome her? Yeah, yeah. Just want to hear how God's been working in Gwen's life here at Hope.
Ever since I've been at Hope, I've been in a small group, and I think because I was a teacher, people would sometimes ask me, have you ever thought about leading a group yourself? My response was always, no. I work with first graders. Adults are very different. That's the end of that. When I retired, I got more involved at different things at Hope. I continued to do small group and joined the women's Bible study, and most recently, Grief Share. And about a year ago, people started asking me to fill in for when they couldn't be at something to be a discussion leader. And I didn't really think I was qualified for that. I work with kids, right? But it began to dawn on me, if people are asking me to do it, they must think I can, so maybe I should. So my first experience was with my small group. Our leaders had to be out occasionally, and they asked if I would back them up whenever they weren't able to be there. And it went okay. And guess what? Not once did I have to stop anybody and ask them, could you be making a better choice right now? Or remind them, we don't put scissors in our mouth. In the meantime, I was also invited to fill in for a discussion group leader for the Bible study group. And that went okay, too. Time goes on, and it turns out that the leaders in both of those groups that I was substituting for needed to step out for the rest of the session. So I did that, too. And then came my come-to-Jesus moment when the leaders in both of those groups decided that they needed to step out completely for now. And I thought, I'm out, too. My intent was only ever to fill in for people, to be a good, dependable fill-in. So as I went on my next prayer walk, I set out with the intention that I was going to explain to God why I was going to keep doing this. And you're laughing, right? you know what's going to come next. I found out God had a different idea. And by the time I got back from my walk, I had a plan. Went to the computer, emailed Doug, saying, what would you think of this? So, one more thing. A year ago, I joined the Grief Share team. I have suffered some loss and grief in my life, and it was a ministry that's always been close to my heart. So, I came in on a supporting role, and now it turns out that I needed to step up to fill in for this year's Grief Share session. So God has really used this church and these people to cause me to stretch and grow. And if you had told me a year ago even that I would be doing the things I'm doing, I would not have believed you. But God's gentle persistence leading has brought me here, as well as I'd like to shout out to my sisters in the Lord who have been so generous with their love and support and encouragement. Thank you.
Gwen's journey at Hope is just testimony that in a family, God will call out your gifts and your potential. And even though she did not see what the rest of us could see about her and her leadership gift, that she listened to God's prompting, which meant, you know, she had to ask and then listen for God to answer. And as she listened to what God prompted her to do and then was encouraged by the people around her, she stepped into some of the God-given spiritual gifts that she has. And now she's blessing our Hope family in so many ways. I think one of the things that I noticed from Gwen's story is how following Jesus often means stepping out of our comfort zones and trusting God's plan for our lives and trusting how God wired us to be. So I can't promise Gwen that if you hang around our men that you might not have to tell them to take the scissors out of their mouth, but as long as the ladies are around, they're fairly civilized. Okay, can we give a 1, 2, 3, yay, Jesus, for what God's doing in our sister Gwen's life? 1, 2, 3. Yeah, yeah. Love it. All right, next story. God has called our church to be a grace-based family, and that grace word really defines how we do so much of what we do. For our next story, Tyler, I remember meeting Tyler Carlson a few times with some different pastors over the years, and then he was pastoring at a church on staff in Phoenix and stepped down from there. And then all of a sudden this summer, I saw him sitting in the back here and was like, wow, hey, cool. I'm glad you're visiting, and got to know some of his story. But Tyler, will you come? Let's hear how God's been restoring him. Give a preacher a mic. This will be fun. Here we go.
That's right. Well, good morning. As Doug said, I've been a pastor previously for the last 6 years. Recently stepped away from that. My wife and I, Hannah's sitting over here. She's a PK, proud PK. So pastor's kid for those of you who are not PKs. So she's been around the church for her whole life and serving in different capacities. I grew up in the church, and like I said, I've been serving as a pastor for the last 6 years. The last church that I was serving at, for the last 4 years, I was working with the youth in that capacity. I love youth. That's a huge passion of mine, and I love serving in that way. Unfortunately, that role also came with a lot of wounding and hurt from that environment. And so we made the decision I was not only going to step away from that role, but for a time going to step away from ministry entirely to heal and to avoid the pangs of burnout, which I was feeling. Not to get too much into that, it's not really the point of this. Really, what I'm trying to say is that when Hannah and I stepped away from that environment, I think really what we were looking for was a place of refuge. If I was being honest, I think I would probably be okay just not stepping into a church door for a couple of years. But we also knew that that wasn't what God had for us, and there was something that we needed to do. And so I knew Doug previously from a couple of different environments in seminary and other pastors' areas, and so we tried out hope, and from the minute that we walked in here, we felt welcome, and we really felt this place was a place that we could heal and find that refuge. And so we've gotten connected with a small group, and Brandon and Rahel have been really huge for us in being able to find that place and that community that we've been searching for. So we're super thankful for that, and I think one of the things that I'm really just is coming to mind is reconnecting with the heartbeat of the church. I love the church, and we're called to serve the church, but we needed a place that we could, I think, restore some of that hope in the church, and so we've found that here, and we're thankful for that. So thank you for being that community, and we're looking forward to continue to doing that. Yeah.
Love you, man. Thank you. You know, this one, hits home for me, like as a pastor. Like, I've been through tough church situations. I was about the same age as you guys. In my late 20s, when I had a really disorienting experience with a church in Wisconsin where I was the worship and young adult pastor, and it went bad. It was really rough. So maybe that's one of the reasons why it really matters to me that when a pastor steps out of a hard situation and they're looking for a safe space where they can heal, where they can reconnect with a healthy church family, it really matters to me that such a place exists, and I'm so grateful that Hope, you're that kind of family, that kind of place exists because of y'all, that people can know that they can show up here and find a place to belong and start to heal and hopefully rediscover God's heart for them as a beloved son, as a beloved daughter. Dang, that's just a big reason that Heidi and I do what we do, because I know that their story is similar to many stories in this room where you've come from environments, whether you're on staff or served at a church, that it didn't go well. So, again, I'm proud of our church family. We're not perfect. I've got a lot of deficiencies as a pastor and a leader, and in spite of all those deficiencies, God still does what God does and chooses to put his love and his grace on display in the Hope family in ways that bring renewal and restoration and healing in this environment of grace. So Can we shout out on three, a yay Jesus, a yeah Jesus for what God is doing in our brother and sister's life and for lots of other lives. One, two, three, yeah Jesus. All right, all right, all right. Story number four, hey, for Hope to be a grace-based family where anyone can find and follow Jesus, it means being a place where people can come as they are. They can bring their questions, their struggles, and know that it's okay to have questions and you don't have to just give the right answer. You can actually say the real thing instead of just the quote right thing. And I know that some of us have been in places previously where if people really knew what I thought or believed or even questioned or wondered about, would I be able to fit in here? Could I belong? Like, is my authentic self actually welcome? And here at Hope, we want people to know you come as you are, and questions are not a bad thing. And for Monica Andrews, her faith journey led to being real disillusioned with the institutional church, and still she was willing to take a risk, and God brought her here to Hope. So welcome, Monica. She's going to tell us part of her journey.
Thanks, everybody. I'm really excited to be able to tell just a piece of my story with you this morning. So the church has always been a part of my life for as long as I can remember. Different churches, different ideas, different people, different times in my life. Sometimes it was a good experience and sometimes it just wasn't. Sometimes, like Tyler, it left me with some wounds that would take some time to heal. But about 3 years ago, I'd reached a place where I was starting to feel like the church, at least in the institutional sense, wasn't a place where I could belong. It was just no longer a place for me. I was ready to give up and let my personal experience of God be enough. And that was heartbreaking for me because I'd grown to love the church and I'd grown to love its people. I don't feel, like Tyler said, this is my platform this morning to talk about all the ways that the church hurt me, but I do want to share with you the special ways that I think God is moving here at Hope. I've been coming here about 2 years now. I started first by listening to the services online for a few months, and then I decided to attend in person for a while. Over the past year, I've joined a small group. A lot of them are here today, and they're all so special to me. And I went on a mission trip to the Naomi House, which was wonderful. I've been in Bible studies and a part of a workshop. And I get together with the ladies on Thursday to knit and crochet. And I have a few people that I just get together over coffee and share the weight of the world with and share our story. And in all of those settings, I think I can easily see that this church and the people who belong to it are doing exactly what they're trying to do, which is being a place where anyone can come and find and follow Jesus. But in two ways that are particularly important to me that I want to share with you this morning. The first is what Doug was talking about, which is the room to think and disagree. I don't feel certain about a lot of things. That's just not my nature. In fact, I would say I'm the opposite. The more certain people are about things, the harder it is, or the less likely I am to trust what it is that they're saying. And no one here in this family makes me feel like that's a bad thing, or a weakness of some sort. Instead, they value my ability to think critically. They value my curiosity and my questions. And they, if they don't agree with me, they leave room for me to just go home and work that out with God and take all the time I need to do that with the Holy Spirit. And this is so important to me in my relationship with God. I need that. I need to be able to ask questions and seek understanding. It's sacred ground for me because when I'm allowed to think, then I'm allowed to grow. And when I'm allowed to grow, my faith is strengthened. And when my faith is strengthened, then I draw closer to God, which is really what it's all about. The second thing is authenticity. I'm a person who has significant health challenges. My immediate family chooses a different way of walking out their faith, so I come here by myself most of the time. My extended family is wounded and what some would call dysfunctional, and I'm still healing from wounds associated with that myself. Most of my spiritual growth, for a lot of it anyway, has come from making some really bad decisions. And I feel strongly about social justice, sometimes in a way that not everybody agrees with. And here at Hope, I don't feel judged for those characteristics of my life. Instead, I feel like here I'm seen first for who I am spiritually. So what does that mean for me this morning? Well, I have lots of stories of answered prayer and powerful ways that God has moved in my life and ways that I've drawn closer to him. And I treasure each one of them. They're precious. All of those answered prayers are like a jewel in my crown, some would say. But when it comes to Hope, I had resigned myself to either Hope the Church. I had resigned myself to either living my faith outside of a body of believers or belonging to a church where I felt like I had to hide parts of myself that either were still being worked on or just needed to be accepted. And instead, I am experiencing God in community with all of you whom he loves so very much. And I'm bearing the weight of the world with you. And I'm finding new ways all the time to use what God has uniquely gifted me to do. So I hope that what I've shared with you this morning absolutely gives you cause to celebrate and be thankful. But I hope also that what you see or what you might remember and what I might remember is that here at Hope, we are a part of somebody's treasure, possibly somebody's answered prayer, and maybe one they didn't even realize they needed or were praying. Thank you.
I love this story. Monica, you are not alone. How many of you could even relate to parts of her story this morning? Just look around. You are not alone. Yeah. I do love how, see, it's not just Monica, although it is important that even if it was just Monica. but I know that that story connects with so many of our stories. Experiencing God's grace in this community, finding a sacred space to ask questions, to think critically, to grow spiritually, to be able to be authentic and real and not have to hide and pretend and fake when we don't know. And then to find out that you are loved even as you your true self is known. Friends, this is so important for us as a church. It's so important for how we follow Jesus together, because that's part of what God wired us to be. See, Monica is someone that Heidi and I really trust. She has such a wise and real and deep relationship with God. So if you're looking for somebody who knows Jesus, she's one of the people that you can walk with, because God has done a lot in her life, and she's so good at walking with other people. So can we shout out a big on three, yay Jesus, for what God's doing all over this church and in Monica's life? One, two, three. Hey, Jesus. All right. Okay. Now, the last but not least of our stories of hope, it's such a great example of growth and healing happening in the context of our church as a family of grace, of being a multi-generational family. In fact, as Addie talks, she's going to mention the impact of mothers and fathers in our church family, which is something that as a staff we talk quite a bit about, and we haven't necessarily said a lot about that in this room, but I want you to listen as she talks for how our church family's mothers and fathers have given such a depth to our church and made this a place where people can live love. So she's very shy. Would you welcome Addie up to the...
Oh, no. It's good to see you all again. Yeah, I have been so blessed by this space. A little over a year ago, I walked through these doors on January 7th of last year for the first time. I was anticipating a long journey of church hopping. I had been for the 6 months previous Been watching sermons from all over the valley. I'd been reading all of the belief statements of every single church around the area. And I was like, okay, God, like I have my list narrowed down to 6 churches. Got to go test them out, try them out, see what's going on here. But as soon as I walked through the doors, my shoulders were able to relax. As soon as I talked to Heidi and Liz at the welcome table, when I saw the cold brew, shout out Brandon, and was like, whoa, that's cool, but was just immediately able to say yes. And this was the farthest church away from me. I live all the way back on Signal Butte. And so I was like, oh, I'll test out the farthest one. It'll be the easiest to cross off my list. But it was the easiest to say yes. I was amazed by how immediately this place felt like a home. I talked about this a little bit the last time I was up here, but my dad passed away in February, and I had been here for a month. I had said yes to youth ministry. I had said yes to kids ministry. I was in this brash and awesome and amazing small group that I loved. I was doing all the things. I'm a yes man. From the 7th grade, my motto has been, I'm a human being, not a human doing. And I always forget that every 5 seconds. Because I'm like, oh, I can do it, yes! but when my dad passed and I left for 2 months, and then I came back exhausted and overwhelmed and depleted, unable to get out of bed some days, unable to feel like a real person just wake up and feel good at all. I came back here and immediately disqualified myself from being a part of this family. I felt worthless and unqualified and untrustworthy because I had hopped in and then left immediately. And I felt like I did not have enough skin in the game to be loved here. But that was immediately proven wrong. Even as I was gone, I was getting text messages from the pastoral staff supporting me and sending me love. And even though I disqualified that too in my head, I came back and just had all of these things in my head just were immediately proven wrong in love and grace and by the incredible mothers and fathers in this church that hugged me, which I love so much, and spent time with me and cared for me. And I heard Jesus telling me that I could rest. 4-ish years ago, I was given this verse, Psalm 139:5, and I am obnoxious, so I don't like any of the English translations. I like the Swedish translation instead, which is, "You surround me on all sides, and you hold me in the palm of your hand." And that is sometimes so easy to forget. But it was so real and tangible in this space. And I continue to hear that over and over and over again through my work and just time living in this body. I was talking earlier during announcements about how we were just at a youth conference. That was so, so wonderful and beautiful. And if you weren't here for those announcements, two of our youth said yes to Jesus during that time, which is just so, yeah. Another one. Praise Jesus. It was just so, so wonderful and exciting and exhausting. And the theme of that was walking through the wilderness and focusing on God's promises and the promised land. And there were greenhouses around that space and just visualizing, like, God growing our faith and obedience. And when I left the church last night at 11:30 p.m., after, like, finishing everything for the annual celebration and wrapping up the kids and sending them home after 10 p.m., and I was calling my friend on the way home so that I wouldn't fall asleep, and I was like, Juliana, God has given me a greenhouse in this church. I have felt for the last 4 years that God has been cutting me at the root, that he has been putting me in the sun, that I have been experiencing that dumb, not dumb, it's not dumb, but the, like, Christian seasonal metaphor. I was like, I have been in a winter for too long. I have felt dead for too long. And I was like, Juliana, I am in a greenhouse. God has put me inside to continue to allow me to grow roots in a healthy space that is listening for the word of God and has a commitment to doing that, where I can have the opportunity to practice the gifts that God has given me, that he is growing within me, and that I can take time to understand who God has me to be, and rest in that greenhouse and stay in this space. I did the membership class. Well, I did watch the YouTube videos. I don't know. But I'm becoming a member of this church today, and that is so exciting, to just continue to feel this promise and this development of God growing. And I'm just so excited and grateful for the way so many of you have taken part. Gwen has been an awesome spiritual mentor for me. The Crosses, so many of you have taken the time to love on me, and I'm so, so grateful for that. And to feel supported and in this warm environment. And even though I hate the desert and I hate Arizona, I miss my trees, I miss my mountains. I feel in this greenhouse of warmth and development and growth, and I am just so, so grateful for that. So thank you.
Thanks, Addie. Yeah, I just love Addie's story. It is so fun, like, every day at the office to get to see firsthand the joy in her life and the honesty about the life's not always easy, but she is here and is using her gifts to love and serve this entire church family. And part of why that happened is when she came through those doors last year, January 7th, what she found was a church family that welcomed her with open arms. And even through the tragic loss of her father and having to go back home to Washington for a while, and then coming back and not knowing what we would think of her or how she'd be treated, she found that she was embraced by all y'all. And hope is a greenhouse for so many people who God is growing in a season of their life and bringing restoration and healing. So on the count of three, can we shout out a big yay Jesus for what God's doing in Addie's life and in the life of people who he's bringing a greenhouse effect to their life. 1, 2, 3. Yay Jesus. All right. Hey, this morning, as the worship team comes, I want to ask a question of you, and it's a pretty simple question, pretty simple invitation, and the question is this: as we celebrate the things that God is doing, and you can skip ahead a couple slides here, how is it that God is calling you, how is it that God is calling you to be even more of a part of this grace-based family? Maybe it's to join a small group and begin to develop family. Maybe it's to get trained to lead a small group. Maybe it's to love and serve our kids or work with our teenagers or to be somebody that's willing to be that frontline person that's there when people come into our doors and need to feel welcomed. Maybe that's one way that you can jump in. Maybe you don't want to necessarily be in that capacity around folks. What if the way you serve is a little more behind the scenes in our landscape team? There's so many ways that this whole family moves forward together and ministers to the people around us just by bringing your gift and spending some time. So how is God calling you to be more of a part of our grace-based church family? And then the second question, I just felt a prompting to urge, there's at least some of us here, I think, that God has a specific person that God wants you to be a part of their journey toward finding and following Jesus. And so I'm just asking the Holy Spirit right now to drop that name into your heart. If that's you that this is for, that the Holy Spirit would drop that name into your heart and you'd begin praying about how you can be a part of someone else's journey toward finding Jesus, following Jesus, experiencing healing and grace. So, Holy Spirit, would you speak those names to our hearts for those that invitation is for, even right now? Well, as we move now toward our closing song, I just want to say one more time, I'm so grateful for what God is doing in this Hope family. Actually, what's so funny, just because we're pretty real around here, I was pretty discouraged this last month. A couple things that didn't work out the way we were hoping with our associate pastor search and then some folks that are not a part of our church family anymore. There were just some things that I was, just kind of discouraged. In fact, this week started and I had to really focus in on getting this message pulled together, and I thought, I am celebration, like, I'm not going to get up and fake it, so I'm just going to preach a different sermon, like, not going to happen. And of course, I'm doing what I'm asking all of us to learn to do more regularly, just pray, stop, ask God, what do you want me to know about this, and what do you want me to do, and sensed, go forward with this. And then I actually, the names that the five people that talked today, I thought maybe three would say yes, so I asked all five, and they all said yes, and I felt like those were names that God prompted and put on my heart to invite to be a part of this celebration. And I tell you what, this sermon was for me, so thank you, Hope family. I love what God's doing here. It's good. Thank you. I'm going to read this scripture and then we'll sing together. Let's come back to what we started with. Matthew 5 is a reminder, an invitation to you and to me. You and you and you and you and you and you and we. You are the light of the world. City on a hill cannot be hidden. So let your light shine. Let your light shine, because you never know what God is up to and who God is transforming just through your being the hands and feet of Jesus. Amen. 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 Will you stand together? And God, I just thank you as we sing now about your grace. Would you pour out more and more of your grace and help us in our time of need? But God, would you remind us that you are faithful. You are faithful and you are at work. We love you, Jesus.